Ok.
You chant the verse.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Gopijana Ballabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tiro Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopijana Ballabha Girivaradhari Yashoda Nandana Raja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Shri Radha Madhava Astasaki Ki Jai
Hi.
Chandraya Mandir Ki Jai
Hi.
Narayanam
Narayanam
Naram Chaiva
Narottamam.
Narang Chaiva
Devim
Sarasvatim
Vyasam.
Vyasam.
Jana Dharma Dibisaha.
Jana Dharma Dibisaha.
Hello Nasta Drisha Esha.
Laujasam Jishavesha.
Puranarko Duno Ditaha.
Arnarko Duno Ditaha.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So, Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti, text number 41. Atta.
Atta.
Therefore.
Therefore.
Vishvaisha.
Vishvaisha.
Vishvaisham.
O Lord of the Universe.
O Lord of,
Lord of the Universe.
Vishvaatman.
Vishvaatman.
O soul of the universe.
O soul of,
The universe.
Vishvamurte.
Vishvamurte.
O personality of the universal form.
O personality,
Of the universal form.
Svakeshu.
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 Unto my own kinsmen.
Unto my own kinsman.
Kinsman.
May.
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 My.
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 Sneha Pasham.
Sneha
Pasham.
Tie of affection.
Tie
of affection.
Imam.
Imam.
This.
This.
Chindi.
Chindi.
Cut off.
Cut off.
Cut off.
Dridam.
Dridam.
Deep.
Deep.
Pandushu.
Pandushu.
For the Pandavas.
For the Pandavas.
For the Pandavas.
Vrishnishu.
Vrishnishu.
For the Vrishnis also.
For the Vrishnis also.
Ata Vishvesha Vishvatman.
Ata Vishvesha
Vishvatman.
Vishvamurte Svakeshu Me.
Vishvamurte
Svakeshu Me.
Sneha Parsham Imam Chindi.
Sneha Parsham
Imam Chindi.
Dridam Pandushu Vrishnishu.
Dridam Pandushu
Vrishnishu.
Jai. So, Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
Okay, translation.
Oh, can we repeat a couple of times after you?
until the cows come home.
Atavishvesha Vishvatman. Vishvamurte Svakeshume.
Vishvamurte Svakeshume.
Sneha Pasham Imam Chindhi.
Sneha Pasham Imam Chindhi.
Vritang Pandushu Vrishnishu.
Vridam Pandushu Vrishnishu.
Tavishvesha Vishvashman.
Atavishvesha Vishvatman.
Vishvamurte Svakeshame.
Vishvamurte
Keshume.
Sneha Parsham Imam Chindi.
Sneha Parsham Imam Chindi.
Dridham Pandushu Vrishnishu.
Dridham Pandushu Vrishnishu.
Translation. O Lord of the universe, O soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please, therefore, sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas, and for the Vrishnis. Here's a peach. O Lord of the universe.
O Lord of the universe.
Soul of the universe.
Soul of the universe.
Personality of the form of the universe.
Personality
of the form of the universe. Please, therefore, sever my tie of affection.
Please, therefore, sever my tie of affection.
For my kinsmen.
For my kinsmen.
The Pandavas and the Vrishnis.
The Pandavas and the Vrishnis. Okay, Prabhu, so at this time, we need everyone's cooperation to please mute yourselves, everybody that's on Skype, so that there's no echoes or background noise for Maharaj when he speaks. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Bol.
Bye. Okay. So these are, of course, really wonderful prayers. You know, Prabhupada gave, I think, lectures on them, a series of lectures, two different times, two different places at least. And he says one place, I think it's in the summary of the Bhagavatam, he says, the prayers of Queen Kunti are nicely explained. You know? So somebody, maybe even indicating a little bit of Prabhupada's personal swarup in terms of his feeling for these prayers. And in our Bhakti Bhai Bhava thing, we have to memorize 70 verses over 4 years. So we have some basic verses that Prabhupada uses again and again, but then we're making it optional that different devotees can memorize different things. So I was working on memorizing some of these, and they're very nice. If you want to, we can follow along, go back to the first verse. It's very easy to remember because it's 18:18, or more specifically, first canto, 8th chapter, text 18. So 1:8:1:8. To go back
give me
there.
A second.
Okay. Give you all time. I'm also getting time here.
Some of us are on the we're doing it on the Veda base, kind of on the internet. It takes a little.
Yeah. I have a Kindle machine. I have a Veda base. And I have a book.
Yeah. Ramana, what's the quickest way to do this?
I'm sorry, I had to unmute myself. Well,
okay.
I mean, it depends on what you're at. If that means you've got computer access, just go right on the database.
Yeah.
Right. Here, okay, I got it.
Okay.
Database.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So, prayers by Queen Kunti.
I'm sorry, what was it? The canto chapter and verse again, I'm sorry.
It's 1:8:1:8. Canto 1.
Okay, got it.
Chapter 8, text 1:8, 18:18, just like the Bible, Purana, 18 Puranas.
1:8, got it, I'm there.
Yeah, we can just, let's just all chant the Sanskrit together for about the first 5 verses, they're very musical.
Okay.
Kunti uvacha,
nam uvacha,
shyam, param, prakrite, param, Lakshyam sarva
bhutanam anarpiravastitam
maya javani kachanam agnyarokshajam
avyayam nalakshyase mortadrisha
Tata paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartam pashyema istriyah krishnaya vasudevaya devaki nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Nama Pankaja Nabaya Nama Pankaja Maline Nama Pankaja Nabaya Nama Pankaja Nabaya Jai. So Kunti's prayer, she's very much in the consciousness of Krishna as Lord of the Universe, Master of the Universe. She describes that when she's thinking, Prabhupada says in one place that the entire purpose of Kunti's prayers is to how to catch Krishna. Actually, we have an essay we wrote on this for our Bhakti Bhai Baba program. And if you can get the our chat thing there, I think I got our whole, I got it there. We have our webpage, jayaram.us, and if you go to the archives, there's one file there you can download, which is it's actually all of our Bhakti Bhai Baba essays on homosexuality. We never went to the moon. I think all from the first six cantos, but also our notes, you know, our little notes on these prayers. But Prabhupada says the whole purpose of these prayers is how to catch Krishna. He's going to go away. Well, how can you keep him from going away? Yeah. So she starts off, Kunti Uvacha, Namashye Purusham Tvadyam Ishvaram Prakrute Param. That you're the master of the universe. You're both inside of everything. You're outside of everything. But the bizarre thing is that nobody can see you. You can look inside, you can look outside, you're everywhere, but nobody can see you. And she says that only the Paramahamsas, who are very renowned, they can see you in their hearts. So how can we ladies see you? I'm involved in all this politics. And so then she says, Krishnaya Vasudevaya. Oh, well, Krishna incarnates in a form that even though we're materially absorbed, we don't have to be great yogis or gyanis. He becomes a cute little cowherd boy. He becomes a nephew. He becomes all these things that are very, very natural for a lady to think about. Like that. And then so she offers her respects. And then she starts to describe some of the specific pastimes they had together with poison cakes and cannibals and incendiary houses, you know. And then, of course, a very famous verse, she says, I wish all those things would happen again and again, because then we were able to see you. And now that we're in good condition, you're going away, like that. And so she makes this comment next that Krishna is akinchana gochara. He's the possession of those who have nothing. You know, as long as we have anything in this material world, then we can't catch Krishna. Then I can't remember exactly, but I think at that point then she starts going into all these different options. Some say you incarnate to satisfy Lord Brahma. Some say you incarnate to satisfy the pious kings. Some say this and that whenever this and that goes on. And then she says, but some say you incarnate to rejuvenate the process of hearing and chanting. And that's about four or five verses ago. And my comprehension is when she says, oh, you come to satisfy the kings, you come to satisfy Brahma, Krishna's kind of giving his Hindu nod. Yes, yes, that is true. I come for that. Yes, but I have to go now. Yes, yes, I come for that too. But now I have to go. And when finally it comes to this point that you come to rejuvenate the process of hearing and chanting, and then Krishna maybe blushes or something. Hey, yeah, that's it. You know, you've got me. Wherever there's pure Hari, pure Kirtan going on, I can't escape like that. And so then she's feeling, okay, now I know how to keep Krishna, you know. And then, but wow, how should I keep him? And then she's complaining again that, you know, all of these things are wonderful. The rivers are flowing. The hills are full of minerals. Everything is giving its taxes in proper order, the land, the cows. But all these things are just because of your presence. And now when we're flourishing so much, hey, you're going to go away like that, you know. And so the previous verse, because this verse says, therefore, the previous verse says, you know, all this is because of your glancing over them, you know. And so she's caught in this dilemma. Actually, we published purport now. A pure devotee of the Lord is ashamed to ask anything in self-interest from the Lord. But the householders are sometimes obliged to ask favors from the Lord, being bound by the tie of family affection. Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and therefore she prayed to the Lord to cut off the affectionate tie for her own kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. When I was reading the translation, I was thinking, she's saying, Dridam, Sneha Pasham of mine, Chindi, cut it. When the demons are trying to pierce Prahlad Maharaj, they're all saying, Chindi Bindi, cut him, pierce him. So it's a pretty common word. Imam ja, imam Pasham, no, Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dridam. A very deep thing, Pandishu Vrishnishu. So this is like Draupadi giving up her sari. You know, I mean, as far as I can understand, like a lady like Kunti giving up her affection and attachment to her families like this, especially a politically minded lady like this, is just giving up nothing, everything. Because in some ways, a king or a queen doesn't have anything. What they have is their political situation. And from that, automatically, they have vices and shudras and wealth and everything else. So for her to give up this kind of situation is for her to give up everything like that. So being bound, Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and therefore she prayed to the Lord to cut off the affectionate tie for her own kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. The Pandavas are her own sons, and the Vrishnis are the members of her paternal family. Krishna was equally related to both the families. Both the families required the Lord's help because both were dependent devotees of the Lord. Srimati Kunti Devi wished Sri Krishna to remain with her sons, the Pandavas, but by his doing so, her paternal house would be bereft of the benefit. This is Vasudeva. Vasudeva is her brother, huh? All these partialities troubled the mind of Kunti. And therefore she desired to cut off the affectionate tie. A pure devotee cuts off the limited ties of affection for his family and widens his activities of devotional service for all forgotten souls. A typical example is the band of six Goswamis who followed the path of Lord Chaitanya. All of them belong to the most enlightened and cultured families, rich families of the higher castes. But for the benefit of the mass of population, they left their comfortable homes and became mendicants. To cut off all family affection means to broaden the field of activities. Without doing this, no one can be qualified as a brahmana, a king, a public leader, or a devotee of the Lord. So as I'm reading this, what's coming to my foreground is that we of course, we all know we can make ISKCON a very comfortable home where we talk about Krishna and, you know, we have happiness and freedom from distress and staying with cultured, enlightened people who don't smoke and, you know, have many different good habits and are developing even mystical powers. But to broaden that means to go out to all these common people who are eating at McDonald's and, you know, absorbed in football games and terrified about the war in Libya and, you know, to go out to all of them, you know, And so that's, you know, to be a broad-minded person like that. The personality of Godhead as an ideal king showed this by example. Sri Ramachandra cut off the tie of affection for his beloved wife to manifest the qualities of an ideal king. Yeah. Of course, this is the controversial point. Why did he do this? But the thing is, this is just part of the package. When you become the princess, you get people to, you know, perfume your dresses before you wear them. Your bed is heated up before you go to bed. You get the best education, training, you know, health food, diet. But as soon as you become the princess. But then also there's, you know, two sides of the coin. Prabhupada says that Caesar's wife must be above suspicion. So as soon as the queen has any suspicion, then the king has to show an example of cutting his tie with her. And so people were, but before he accepted her back in Lanka, Ramachandra in the beginning immediately had her walk through fire to prove her purity. But still that wasn't enough for some people. So ladies were starting to take advantage of the situation and saying, well, the king took a wife back who'd been out with somebody else, so how can you refuse me? So then Ramachandra had to show everybody, well, this is what happened. And there's even a suggestion of this. You know, he had to make a very strong example. So all these common people would be frightened by this example. So it was part of this the duty of a king. And hopefully Sita was understanding all this. This is the way it has to go. Sri Ramachandra cut off the tie of affection for his beloved wife Sita to manifest the qualities of an ideal king. Such personalities as a brahmana, a devotee, a king, or a public leader must be very broad-minded in discharging their respective duties. Yeah? Srimati Kunti Devi was conscious of this fact, and being weak, she prayed to be free from such bondage of family affection. The Lord is addressed as the Lord of the universe or the Lord of the universal mind, indicating his all-powerful ability to cut the hard knot of family affection. So when I was reading this, I was thinking that, of course, this applies to ISKCON too. We have public leaders in ISKCON, public leaders, and they have to be broad-minded in applying their duty. Here it's not even talking about extremely mean-minded person. An extremely mean-minded person, he uses his position of public prestige and authority simply to glorify his body and personality. That my body, my personality should be very, you know, respected like that. So here is talking about somebody who's up to the level of extended attachment to his group, his family, his community, like that. And even that has to go. And so somebody in that level, they have to be thinking not just about the Bhaktivedanta Institute or Food for Life or ISKCON Mayapur or, you know, whatever it is your particular thing is. You know, they have to be able to think in terms of broadly, in terms of all the Prabhupada's devotees, women, children, old men, like that. And, you know, see to the welfare of everybody, you know. And then the Lord is addressed as the universal mind. So it says that, as it goes, that's interesting. The sun is an incarnation of Aniruddha. And not S-O-N, S-U-N. The sun is an incarnation of Aniruddha. And Aniruddha is the predominating deity of the mind. Therefore, it's impossible to keep good mental health without sufficient sunlight. So you just talk to anybody in Seattle and they'll agree. One of the highest suicide rates, alcoholism. So the sun is so important for mental health. So here again, she's talking to Aniruddha. And you see all these things. It's very interesting to try and understand what is her bhava, what is her appreciation of Krishna. When Krishna was finally leaving Hastinapur, the prayers by the ladies on the roofs are very nice. And they start off by saying, here he is, as we remember him before the creation, like that, you know. And Kunti also says, when she's thinking about all these different pastimes of Krishna, when she thinks about Mother Yashoda chasing Krishna around with a stick in the courtyard, she said, this is bewildering to me. Bewildering to me. Yeah. So different people are on different levels. We have Bhagavatamrita, of course, talks about this in great detail. And where are we? You know, we can maybe get a glimmer of something higher and think that's where we are, but it's just a glimmer. Our real consciousness is maybe we don't even really believe there's a God behind everything, you know. So we have different levels of purifying our heart, intelligence, mind, senses. And these prayers are very nice because different prayers are for different people. In the nectar of devotion, under the sadhana bhakti process of prayers, Prabhupada says every devotee should select certain prayers for his own recitation. And yeah, and then you find some that are good. And my experience is when you chant things like this, you start getting direct inspiration. You feel like the author is like saying, yes, that's what I meant. And you start to get these real, very nice, subtle appreciations of the bhava, the consciousness. And different levels of prayers by different personalities are good for us to advance like that. Therefore, it is sometimes experienced that, I think Prabhupada may be talking about himself here, his own experience. Therefore, it is sometimes experienced that the Lord, out of his special affinity towards a weak devotee, breaks the family affection by force of circumstances, arranged by his all-powerful energy. By doing so, he causes the devotee to become completely dependent on him and thus clears the path for his going back home, back to God. So very nice prayers. This is almost the end. Then after that, she says, cut me free. And the next prayer, of course, explains what happens when you're free. Then you flow like the Ganga flows to the ocean. Your mind flows to the lotus feet of Krishna. Then she finishes off with the meter changes. The very last verse, it's like a summary. Shri Krishna Krishna Saka Vrishni Risha Vani Drug Rajanya Vangsa Dahana Pabarga Virya Govinda Godvija Surarta Haravatara Yogeshvara Kila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna. And I think it's very significant. Shri Krishna Krishna Saka. Because she knows Sri Krishna, but she's admitting in the end, after considering all these options and looking at everything else, the best way for me to know you is through Arjuna. I know Arjuna, he's my son, and he knows you so closely. So yes, I look at you from different points of view, but really, one of my best connections to understanding you is through Arjuna, like that, parampara. O Krishna, O friend of Arjuna, O chief amongst the descendants of Vrishni. So she's putting him there. You are the destroyer of those political parties which are disturbing elements on the earth. Your prowess never deteriorates. You are the proprietor of the transcendental abode, and you descend to relieve the distress of the cows, the brahmanas, and the devotees. You possess all mystic powers. You are the preceptor of the entire universe. You are the almighty God. I offer my obeisances unto you. So what is this? Sakiras, Dashiras? Seems to me to be mostly about Shantaras, mostly like that. Yeah. Because she's not even actually talking about service. She's more talking about this protection and appreciating how great Krishna is. So, I guess it's about my basic comprehension. This verse is just talking about, you know, her situation. She's maybe it's Yoga Maya or whatever. She's just talking about how she's caught in these complicated, you know, royal intrigues and attached to this family and that family. But at the level of a very high lady in Varnashram, very high elevation, and therefore more of an attachment maybe than we have. And so then she's finally so confused. She's found out how to catch Krishna, you know, from her perspective. And then she realizes that, like Dhruva Maharaj, he got Krishna, but he got him for the wrong purpose. And he was forced to experience that. You know, so she's also appreciating this. Like, I can catch you now, but my gosh, then, you know, I'll suffer materially because this family, that family. So she surrenders to Krishna with a prayer that, everything will be adjusted like that. Okay. So that's about all my kind of mind I can think of right away, you know. So any comments, questions anybody has?
Thank you so much.
Maharaj, I have a question.
Okay.
You know, this sentence here where it says that the Lord is addressed as the Lord of the universe or the Lord of the universal mind, there's, you know, mystics, and especially impersonalists, that like to refer to the universal mind. And even physicists, sometimes they refer to something out there called the universal mind. This is actually the first time I've seen Prabhupada put it in such a way. It kind of makes it sound as if there's not individual minds, but a universal, all-inclusive mind that we tap into. So my question is, can you elaborate on that? Is it something like what impersonalists sometimes like to talk about?
Yeah, because actually, right in the Chaturshloki, by Bhagavatam, it says, just as all the material elements enter into the material world, but at the same time don't enter into them. So you are this world and you aren't. It's just like if somebody starts with a big ball of yarn, he knits a sweater, and then you say, well, you know, I'm finished, the yarn's all gone. And somebody grabs it and starts pulling on it and says, oh, no, it's not, it's all here. Yeah. So it's all yarn, and same way that our body is, what, 70% water or something, you know? But that's not different than the water outside. Actually, it's even exchanging. It's flowing through a certain thing like that, you know. So there's universal water, and somebody controlling all of that. It's just like, for example, Obama is the universal dictator of our nation, you know, and we're under his control. And whatever he decides to do, then we're obliged to, whether we like it or not, to get involved in this, you know. So the same way, mind, manas, is one of the elements, right? And the universal controller of that, and Krishna is both the. This is from Aristotle. I finally realized this after reading in Prabhupada's book for so long, and I saw these categories are from Aristotle. There's three causes: the ultimate cause, the efficient cause, and the material cause. So the potter is the ultimate cause. The efficient cause is the wheel that turns the cup, and the ingredient cause is clay. So Krishna is all these. That's the point, you know. So he's the Lord of the universal of universal mentality. He's the Lord of the form of universal mentality. He's the essence of it, like that, you know. So that's why, we have one little part of it like that. So if you're having some trouble with aliens from outer space in your backyard, they're coming down and stealing your carrots, you know, then you can call Barack Obama, and he'll send all the force in the nation, national force, to like fight the aliens and keep your yard under control. So if we're having trouble with our mind, we can pray to Aniruddha, who's a specific deity, you know, expansion of Krishna, who's in charge of universal mind, and he'll help us control our mind. That's what I understand.
Well, that's an amazing answer.
Hariba Maharaj,
this is Ishwara Das, remember me?
Who is this?
Ishwara Das, India.
Oh, yeah, Hare Krishna.
Hariba Dhanavat.
Same to you, more of it.
Yeah, hearing you tonight. In Mayapur.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello.
Ishvara is calling you from Mayapur. It's about 1:30 in the morning there.
My goodness, you're fanatic.
Well, it's 11:30 now.
Oh, okay. Hi. What can we do for you?
Just send Haribol to you, Maharaj.
Okay, I will. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. We have our
team. We haven't seen you in India for a while now.
Again, a little slower.
I said, we haven't seen you in India for some time.
No, I had to skip because of Kartik, but I have my ticket now. I got my ticket, and we're coming on the 12th of October. to Vrindavan, and we'll be there 2 months in India this next year. South America, things are going so well that we've been very busy, but I got a ticket, Jet Airways, in October 12th to December 12th. We'll be in India.
Okay, that'll be nice.
Maharaj, I had one more question about in regards to the mind. It came up before that the mind is in the mode of goodness, whereas the senses are from ignorance, and the false ego is manifest from passion. And we had a hard time understanding and explaining this. Could you maybe give that a try and help us understand how the mind is manifest from the mode of goodness? Because it would seem that if the mind is not as subtle, it's grosser than the false ego, that you would think that the false ego would be in goodness, and then the mind would be in passion, one after the other.
Intelligent.
Yeah, we've discussed this many times. Actually, we had a Bhakti Bhai Baba program starting in Russia, and big Sanskrit guys there and everything. So I think that the basic verse for Sankhya is Bhagavad Gita, what is it, 4-7? What is it? It's Bhumir Apo Nalo Vayu Kamano Buddha Eva Cha Ahankara Iti Yame Bina Prakriti Rashtada. And there it's giving you the hierarchy. Bhumi, Apo, you know, earth, water, Analo, fire, Sangsara Dhavanala. Bhumir Apo Analo Vayu, air. And then Vayu Kam, space, which corresponds to sound. And then manas, buddhi, mind, intelligence, and false ego. So that's the usual hierarchy. But different places, I remember in Uddhava asks Krishna in the 11th canto, Uddhava Gita, he says, why do different philosophers describe material nature different ways? And Krishna says, because they have different goals. You know, somebody may walk into a room, and he may be a security expert. He may look at the windows, the bars. Somebody else may be an electrician. Somebody else may be an interior designer. You know, somebody else may have kids and wondering how they can play with a room like that. You know, so different people have different purposes. But in general, my understanding is, if you go to our webpage too, you can download our PowerPoint show on Sankhya. We use it many times, even big science conferences. That we somehow or other, we turn away from Krishna, and the false ego covers us. If we want to, we can leave at that point. But the false ego is the only thing that, all it does is just keep us involved with this world like that. It has no other quality. It's like glue. You know, glue doesn't do anything. It has no color, no flavor. So the false ego, but then it becomes divided up in different groups like that. Just like your fist, it can be a pointer, it can be a cup, it can be so many things like that. So many things can be manifest like that. So the time factor is what's agitating all this, and the time factor is the external manifestation of the Paramatma. Internally, if you look, you see Paramatma, Holy Spirit, Lady Luck, you know, whatever. If you turn externally, and then you see the time factor. And so time in the mode of goodness, as far as I understand, creates buddhi, perspective. I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, everything is for my satisfaction, or I'm servant of everybody else, you know, or I'm servant of Krishna. So it creates that perspective, that background. And that's in the heart. Carl Jung and other people give some evidence about this. And the mode of passion, on that basis, then we start thinking, his cake is bigger than my cake. How can I get his cake? You know, plans, time, linear time, rather than iconographic time. And then we start working with the head, you know. And then, there's one black poetess from South Africa. She says, a woman thinks with her belly. A man, he thinks with his heart. And a white devil, he thinks with his head. So this is passion. And Carl Jung was talking to the Hopi Indians one time, maybe 1932 or something. And he said, he's a big psychologist, you know. Prabhupada liked him. Then he respected him. Then he said, you know, sometimes when I have different thoughts in my head, and all the Hopi guys kind of looked at each other and, you know, sidelong glances and kind of shuffled away from him. And he said, did I say something wrong? And they said, you have thoughts in your head. Only a madman has thoughts in his head. A sane man has thoughts in his heart. So when we're in the mode of goodness, our false ego is situated in the heart and things are happening in our heads, crazy thoughts, pleasant thoughts. We don't identify with them. Sometimes we'll motivate some of them. We'll restrict others. And then things are happening in our sense the same way. Sometimes we'll focus, sometimes we won't focus. So the mode of goodness, I understand, buddhi, the ahankar transforms into buddhi. Then when the mode of passion comes, it transforms into the thinking, feeling, willing. And the mode of ignorance, then it transforms into senses and sense objects. And then one Russian devotee, he made this point that in the third canto where it talks about the hierarchy that you're talking about, or whatever like that, it actually, one of the acharyas actually explains, it's like a secondary thing. It's like, you know, the thought of intelligence within the mind, not intelligence behind the mind. So that's what I understand.
Okay, thank you. I'll have to re-listen to this one again. That was a lot.
No, because we had the PowerPoint show. If you go to our webpage, you know, jayaram.us, and then go to the archives, and down near the bottom is our two PowerPoint shows called Sankhya. Mm-hmm. And one is the PowerPoint show which we use, which it has examples of this. You can clip through it. And the other one is a PowerPoint show which I just kind of tossed in all kinds of odd stuff that I've done different times like that. But it, you know, it's a lot of evidence to support this from Western psychology and stuff too, that you don't see the world. Your mind organizes. There's no such thing as a table. Laptop. Your mind is tremendous processing to put this stuff together, all your different experiences to put it, you know, to create it for your soul to experience it like that.
Yeah, boy, there's a lot of stuff that you have on your website.
All right, so I'd like to ask a question. Okay. And I'd like to ask this question not so much from the perspective of the devotees who've been around a while and have studied Prabhupada's literatures, but say from the perspective of a Sunday feast guest, someone who's sincere, but they're very new to the philosophy. How do you answer the question when we're speaking about, you know, the purpose of life is to reawaken our love of God and go back to our original home? How do you answer the question when they ask, well, if it was so great there, why did we leave? I've heard a lot of different explanations. I'd certainly like to hear yours.
No, because to me, it's a real common. Many, many religions have this, you know, thing. But to far as I understand it, it's a fundamental mistake, because the question can't be asked. It's like the question, if God is all powerful, can he create a rock he can't lift? So our professor in logic at the university took us through that, and what happens is that those kind of questions, they redefine themselves as you're going through it. You know, if God is all powerful, then he can do anything. He can't create a rock he can't lift, or you go, you know, so it becomes like the problem is you're redefining the terms. So if we have free will, then there's no question of why we did anything in that sense, because we have free will, you know. And so why, because usually the question why means what caused us to do it, what forced us to do it, like that. And so then the thing is that kind of idea is that spiritual world is a kind of celestial place, you know, where you're enjoying sense gratification. You can't distract yourself from it. So it's kind of like the heroin addict argument, you know, because the heroin addict, he's experiencing so much pleasure, he can't possibly, how could he possibly give up his heroin? You know, that idea. And So whether you're controlled by pleasure or you're a slave of pleasure or you're a slave of pain and fear, either case, you're a slave. You haven't got free will. You know. So you know, we still, whether it's nice or not, that's actually not what's determining our actions there. Krishna doesn't do things because we're pleasing him, and we don't do things because Krishna's pleasing us. We're doing things because we love Krishna. It's a conscious individual choice. And that becomes frightening. Raga Baya Krodha. And we understand that, and so we don't want to realize that, oh my God, I'm responsible, yes. But Radharani is so kind that she's more powerful than Durga. So even though we're afraid of our own free will, you know, then she'll find some way to get us out of this mess, you know, as best we help. So that's our point, is that we always have free will. And so we're not there because we're being forced to enjoy. You know, we're there because we want to be, because we want to love Krishna. We want to serve him. We want to please him. And whether he gives us anything or not, Prabhupada says he may reciprocate or not. It doesn't matter. We're still going to serve Krishna, you know, going to please Krishna, make him happy. And so that's my understanding, that, you know, the problem is this idea that we're being, you know, being like heroin addicts, you know, where we're being slaves of pleasure. So we can't possibly leave because there's too much pleasure. No, we always, Maharaj Bharata, he was in the platform of Baba. And the purport probably makes it very clear that his fall down was not accidental fall down. It was because he consciously used his free will to play with his pet and to think he was the supreme friend and not Krishna. It's just my understanding.
By the way, when I'm asked that question, can God create a rock or a mountain so big and so heavy he can't lift it? My response is that, yes, he in fact can create something so big, so large, he can't lift it, but he'll lift it anyway.
I've heard some Prabhupada said too. He said, yes, he can do it, but they would lift it anyway.
Yeah.
So that there's no duality. Yes, Krishna can lift or create a rock he can't lift, but he can also lift it.
Right.
I'm here in Nitagora Sundar's house in Tennessee, and Abhishek's sitting down to a real good lunch of Bhima Burgers, his son.
Hummus sandwich and
Bhima Burgers. Okay. Yeah, we're in Tennessee. It's a very nice program here. We're developing we have a nonprofit educational corporation we've been developing for some time here, and it's tied in very intimately with Bhakti Bhai Baba and Bhakti Shastri, especially in South America where we're spending a lot of time. And all these programs are developing very nicely. And this is systematically, you know, reading, appreciating, you know, spreading Prabhupada's books. Wow, it's just, that's the basis. So wonderful.
I was told once that Prabhupada was asked that question, and he said that he can make a mountain so heavy he can't lift it, and then he'll say, Balaram, can you lift that mountain? And have Balaram do it.
Jai. Wow.
Take the point.
It's one thing is interesting, is this first canto, of course, Prabhupada wrote it before he left India. So we're just starting our Bhakti Bhai Baba program in Peru. We started it, a few devotees there. We did a quick, like I think it was a seven month Bhakti Shastri thing, because all of them were senior devotees. And nine of them got their degrees. And then we started a regular 2-year cycle. We just finished that. And 39 people took the examination and passed, 3-hour examination. And now we're starting Bhakti Bhai Baba. And it's a whole thing in ISKCON. Many people are getting approved and establishing it. And so we're going to do it for 4 years. The first year will be cantos 1 and 2, second year canto 3, third year canto 4, and the fourth year cantos 5 and 6. That's the proportion of sizes. So these first two cantos, of course, are Krishna's lotus feet. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.2.12, Prabhupada talks about that. And he says we shouldn't go beyond these first two cantos until we're free from gross, illicit sex. Because it's too intense after that. Yeah? This first canto, of course, was written, I guess, just this first canto, before Prabhupada came to the West. And when I was giving classes on this, I was noticing that Prabhupada doesn't quote any Sanskrit. You know, all the verses he says in the Bhagavad Gita says this and that, you know, maybe thinking that it was too difficult for Westerners. But then the second canto, he starts quoting the Sanskrit like that, you know, and citing it. So the different cantos and different purports, different time, different mood. It's so nice, you know. And these, I don't know when Prabhupada wrote these, at what time, these purports, everything else, under what kind of circumstance. But of course, the poetry is so beautiful, then Prabhupada chants them sometimes. And as I read them again and again, then I begin to see the flow and the logic, you know. Prabhupada says that you cannot understand Bhagavad Gita unless you worship the deity. You've got to understand, Krishna is a person, Arjuna is a person. And Bhagavad Gita is an extremely emotional book. It's full of rasa. You know? And that's the only reason why you can follow the flow of the arguments, is because you can see how Vishnu Chakravarti even says, well, here Krishna can see that Arjuna is thinking this. He doesn't say that, but you get that explanation from Vishnu Chakravarti, you can see, oh, that makes sense. That's why Krishna answers this way. And Jayananda, actually Prabhupada says, I think Jayananda told us, that Prabhupada said, if you go on chanting Hare Krishna, you'll see pastimes you never read in any of my books. And of course, you know, Bhagavad Gita 10, 8, 10, 9, 10, 10, you know, the same thing. You know, Krishna, Tesham Evanu Kamparatam, Krishna enlightens us within the heart. So at my experience, again, really, as you chant these prayers and over again, then the authors are pleased with us and start enlightening us, you know, with the internal consciousness, you know. And not a Queen Kunti is, wow, she's, you know, not a, it says she's taking the role of a less intelligent woman, but if, you know, any of us could be that intelligent, we'd be doing pretty well situated at her level. Such an incredible person, you know. She was qualified to be empress of the world. And of course, the Pandavas, the Kurus were so powerful, even the Devatas, you know, had to stay in line, you know, when the Kurus were like, you know, a little was disturbed by them. So Patty is speaking, she's almost qualified to be mother of the universe, empress of the universe. Such a profound karma and everything else. I think she probably said, what, she's the incarnation of the success potency. I guess it's the Jaya Shakti of the Supreme Lord. And Draupadi is incarnation of partial incarnation of Sachi Devi. So it's a whole celestial drama being played out on the Bhumandala. And then Krishna comes in, and by seeing all these feelings and relationships, you know, you can begin to appreciate what it must be like to be in the spiritual world, you know, like that. So it's kind of our comprehension is, you know, very, very nice, chanting and reciting them. And today she's expressing this position, very nice, of somebody who's a very devotee, not a gross person. She's up this level of being generous and thinking about her family members, not just herself, and trying to execute the role of a responsible, you know, leader of society. You know? And then she's praying to Krishna in the end, you can do this. You know, 'cause you, and so, you know, it's about as high as her real deep comprehension goes. Because Krishna is the master of the universe, soul of the universe. You know, like that. So, it's about all. You know. Somewhere in the distance, a dog howled.
Prabhu, do you have any other questions for Maharaj? This is a great opportunity.
Why do you cut your hair that way? What's that mark on your forehead? Yeah, you get them all. Yeah. I'll send you a teddy bear. Teddy bear offers his embrace.
Maharaj, if you're going to be situated in the, I'm sorry, we're in Nashville for some time now?
Yeah, because Chanika Pandit says you should dress your age. I think you should ask your age, too. Yeah. I'm beginning to suspect that hearing and chanting is also a good way of avoiding Alzheimer's disease. Also, 63 years old. Yeah.
How often do you think that we can ask you if you would like to give class to our group?
I think right now it's working out pretty well. We're going to be here, I think, probably until, actually, I'm just going to buy the tickets now. Until, this is my last world tour. I'm telling everybody, after that, forget it. We're going to grow corn. Maybe travel, you know, much more like selectively. So on May 14th, we take off. We go to Houston, Mexico City, Houston, San Jose, and the whole Bay Area, up north to Seattle, Boise, and down to South America, back across to Europe, teach India, and come back December. But we're going to be here and be well situated until May. Then after that, actually, when we get to South America, it can be a little difficult, you know. But even there, it depends, you know, how it goes out. Skype is working pretty well now. Yeah.
Would you be willing to come on maybe like every 2 weeks, or would that be too much?
That'd be nice, I think, too, because I'm just one jiva here, you know. So yeah, every couple of weeks and stuff like that. Sometimes, because for us it's the middle of the day, you know, we might have some kind of appointment. So I told you, Rabbi Rami is trying to get an appointment with us to see the chairman of the local university, the Department of Philosophy. And so I told him anytime, and he said, "Well, let's do this, that, you know." So he's got, so like that. We may have some appointments here and there, but we can always adjust and make plans like that.
Well, that would be wonderful, fantastic. I'll stay in communication with you, and that would be real benediction for us.
On the contrary, you are like Lord Shiva. You see people who have bad qualities as good qualities.
Okay, Prabhu, is anything else for Maharaj? I guess so.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
There was about 24 devotees online today.
I see a whole bunch of question marks here. Like that. Russell, goodbye, Freesi, Ram, Priya, Ishvara, Madhu, Madhava, Richard, Russell, Geeta, 18, Radha, Khan, Rasa, Nara, Babaji, Charlie, Tuna.
We also have a free conferencing. Devotees call in for that.
Uh-huh.
So there's other media. Some people call in directly.
Okay. So I guess we all got to pray to Krishna as the universal mind to help us control our minds. And my thing is, I'm not attached to like my family so much. I have this natural fall of a sannyasi, but I'm attached to my plans and that kind of stuff, you know. So I have to pray to Krishna to keep myself becoming obsessed with different plans and all this kind of stuff. So, it'll become Brahma my next lifetime. That's incredible. Yeah. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Well, thank you so much, Maharaj, for being so kind and giving this class. It was a wonderful class. Thank you.
Kunti ki jai.
Kunti ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare
Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Jai.